Welcome or welcome back. Today is March 29th, 2024. And this is episode 136 of Beers with Talos.
It's episode 146.
This is Beers with Talos. Threats, beers, and all silver bullets.
I wish you guys could see our Patreon subscribers are watching Matt and Lorraine be absolutely ridiculous on the video right now. Shadow puppets claiming that we are from the West Side. I don't know what's going on over there, but I'm joined as always by Matt and Lorraine. And today we have a special guest. Joe Marshall is with us here today. Joe, woo-hoo. How are you doing, bud?
Man, I'm living the dream. Every day is a holiday.
Yeah, he doesn't do
any work when you're around.
He's
bud.
Always. He's always off.
None. He does nothing. Does nothing yet. But Joe's here today. So we're going to talk about the power grid, ICS, and utility security, all kinds of critical infrastructure stuff. That is Joe's forte and bailiwick. So before we get into that, we're going to do what we always do and go around the table, get some opening thoughts from everybody. Lorraine, you are top right today.
I am.
What's on your mind?
No, I'm top left. You're top right.
That joke's never not going to be funny. It doesn't matter what corner you're in. It does not matter.
Yeah, after this, I have to go take my number one guitar to a luthier where it's going to be for like probably, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months, which is very frightening to me. But I'm going to have a lot of stuff done that I wanted to get done for a long ass time. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Going to get like a little bit of a fret job, a little wiring action, some new stuff put on it. What are we doing?
We're going to replace all the hardware. We're going to hardtail the Strat. We're going to put in some splittable super distortion DiMarzio humbuckers in the middle and in the bridge position. I'm going to replace the pickup in the neck position. I'm going to have to put switches in to switch those humbuckers between single coil and double. It's a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. The whole thing's going to get torn down.
That's a complete rebuild.
It is a complete rebuild.
Yeah, that's going to be an exciting guitar to get back.
It's a 96 60th anniversary American Strat that I bought for $700 on eBay in the 2000s.
Damn.
And I'm about to pour $2,000 into it.
That's every bit of a $2,500 guitar now, though.
For me, it will be. I don't know if anyone else will feel that way, but I'm never going to sell it, so it doesn't matter. I'll just be buried with it.
Right. That's your like number one guitar. So
going out like a Pharaoh.
Make it the way you want it.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Matt, what is on your mind today, buddy?
Today, I am prepared to play a game with Joe and the listeners.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Joe, would you like to play a game?
Well, I'm here and I can't walk out now, so I guess I guess
you're playing the game. Stuck. You're playing the game. Yeah.
It is a pop quiz on what Lorraine was just talking about. Listeners can also play along.
We're going on a trip.
We are. Joe, how many dollars did Lorraine spend to get her guitar?
$700.
That is correct, I think.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding.
Joe, listen.
But I don't know if those were American dollars. It was not specified.
It was specified. It was an American standard Strat, but you are correct. She just said dollars, not American dollars.
Pesos for all I know. But okay, fine. I see where this is going.
Question two. What kind of guitar did she buy?
Oh, it was an American standard.
There you go.
Something.
Okay, American standard what?
I don't know. Can't remember. It's already flipped my brain.
I'm admit, I thought I threw you the fattest softball, man.
I just told you. No. I just said it 10 seconds ago.
I hope you're going to knock it out better in front of the power people.
I keep one foot firmly planted on every landmine I see. You know, that's how I roll. It's what I do.
Well, it only works twice and only if they're close.
Oh, speaking of landmines, what is the name of the guitar part that Lorraine mentioned that rhymes with f***er?
Darius Rucker.
Darius Rucker is not part of a guitar. Incorrect. I'm sorry.
He does play one.
Yeah, he does. He does play great guitar, though.
Actually, it even rhymes with bum f***er.
What a great clue.
Something I did not know is that Darius Rucker went on to have a really great country music career. And I did not know that until I was sitting on the porch of a Cracker Barrel one day, and I listened up, and I'm like, that's Darius Rucker, and that song slaps.
No, you didn't say that. You 100% said that's Hootie.
That's Hootie the Blowfish.
No, you said that's Hootie.
No, okay, maybe I did. I don't remember that day.
You said that's Hootie. I promise that's what you said.
I mean, the only reason I know his name is Darius Rucker is because of his country career. Otherwise, he was just Hootie.
He was just Hootie. That Wagon Wheel cover is legit, actually. Anyway,
that was the quiz. Thank you, Joe. I hope the listeners enjoyed that. I just saw Joe concentrating very hard, and I wanted to give him the opportunity to show off what he could do, and he did.
Yeah, I am the paragon of mediocrity, and I'm glad that I could display that in front of all of our tens of listeners.
It's just my mom 10 times.
So I have a quick
tens of watchers.
Yeah. Well, no, many more listeners that are named Matt's mom. So many iPhones that lady has just to give us all those downloads.
A ridiculous amount of downloads.
I have actually a quick update for my roundtable, and this is more of just a statement. To be 17 again, I don't know. So
no,
you guys
pass,
know
that, hard no,
no,
pass.
No. I'm gonna tell you this. So you guys know my son like Rose. So he's like, you know, they're getting into tournament time, state finals, heading into nationals, you know, with a little luck. And so they're training really hard right now. He told me yesterday, he's like, yeah, we went grocery shopping and we were going through his macros. That child is eating 4,800 calories a day on average and is still like struggling to maintain and gain weight.
Because he's using 4,800 calories a day. And that shit's not fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his target is to use like and that's an average because he said he's trying to get 800 calories over what he uses, like, you know, on a training day versus a non-training day. So it averages out to like 4,800 calories a day.
Are you paying for that?
Yeah. Let me tell you how much that grocery bill is.
That's the other reason you want to be 17, I guess.
All protein. And guess what the expensive part of your grocery bill is? All that meat.
Everything.
Oh, everything now, but the meat, it's crazy. Like chicken and beef is insane. It's absolutely insane. I spent like $500 for like groceries for the week. Like that was like, and didn't even, that was like half the order. It was crazy.
If you go buy stuff to make cheap ass American tacos for four people, it's like over $100.
Dude, I went to, I saw a dude posted his Five Guys receipt yesterday. Went to one dude, one cheeseburger, one fry, one Coke, pulled through Five Guys. It was like $28. It's like, that's like, what the heck's going on? It's crazy. Anyway, Joe, anything on the top of your mind today?
Look, Five Guys burgers are really, and I would almost say unduly expensive, but they are delicious.
They're good, so, but they are not that good.
They're not that good. Top of mind, iced coffee is not coffee. It is coffee flavored. I have never in my entire life picked up a cold cup of coffee and went, wow, this tastes so much better when it's room temperature or freezing ass cold. All right. So stop calling it iced coffee. It is not iced coffee.
No, iced coffee is garbage. What about cold brew coffee?
Cold brew,
different beast.
I can appreciate, and I realize there's a lot of variations and subtlety to them. I haven't tried one I've liked, but I do like the low acidity elements of it. So, so I really want to be able to find something that gives me less of the burble guts. Or nitro pour cold brew. I hear that's really, really good.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, it is.
So, but anyways, I'm still going on that journey right now, but I was just drinking a cup of coffee and thinking to myself, you know, iced coffee can go to hell. Anyways.
It is. It's bad.
It really isn't good. I mean, it just gets watered down in a second. But interesting question, Joe.
Yeah.
Why, when you take a sip of that coffee that's been sitting out forever, why is that coffee cold, but the soda sitting next to it would be warm when they're the exact same temperature?
I mean, what is this? I'm not ready for a science exam today. What are you asking me that for?
I'm just...
This is a perception exam, not a science exam.
Cool. Anyway.
No, I think it was a science exam because you asked why.
Yeah, well, why does it appear to you to be the case?
Is this a thermodynamics question or is this a...
In the end, Joe, everything is a thermodynamics question.
I can't argue with that.
All right.
That's like when Richard Harmon the other day, I asked him why something happened and he said it was due to chaos. And I was like, that answer works for literally everything. So
sure does.
Thanks for the unhelpful answer.
Due to undue entropy or due entropy.
Why did that happen?
Speaking of chaos, entropy,
yes.
And thermodynamics, let's talk about the power grid. So, Joe, we had you on today because we have, obviously, one of the big things that is going on in the news.
That perfect segue is brought to you today by BGE, but not the electric one. BGE, the one that repairs your home and has the thing on their van that says, definitely not part of BGE that you already know and love, and we're still using their colors, though. Sorry, Mitch, there you can do that.
And again. They don't sue us for it.
Is that Baltimore Gas and Electric? Is that BGE?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're called Constellation Home now.
Oh, Constellation Home.
But is it Constellation Electric as well? Or are they still BGE?
I don't know, actually. No, but I don't know. No, yeah, I don't know. I used to work there. You think I know that.
If you start a company and you name it BGE and you use their colors, can they not sue you because they didn't sue the last company that wasn't a part of them that used their colors?
Wait, what was the other BGE?
The whole trademark law. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, isn't that how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think there is some legal precedent around lack of enforcement and what that means for your rights going forward. If I'm not a lawyer, but I believe I've heard like tale of that before.
Mm-hmm. Or at least that's what they like to say when they sue people for no reason.
When they out of the blue.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I was successful. I destroyed Mitch's perfect segue.
We're still talking about BGE. So let's keep going with the grid, brother. Yeah. Like there's.
So now, Joe. Tell us all about.
Yeah, so we had you on today. We wanted to chat about power grid security, and that's a thing you might know a couple things about.
I have seen some things in my days. Yes, it's such a wide, vast topic. I'm quite curious as if anybody had a specific place they wanted to go today. Or...
Well, I think we're hearing constantly, and this was part of my awesome segue that Matt. Started it up there. I don't even know if I got to it because I wasn't paying attention either. We hear a lot of, APT activity, and we hear a lot of critical infrastructure activity and where these two things are meeting. So I think a lot of our listeners are kind of familiar with, the risk that is inherent in an aging power infrastructure, aging utility infrastructure, and also the risk that's inherent and is those things as a target. So how are we securing what risks are present and how are we securing or defending against them? Let's start there.
And do you feel like there's more risk in an aging power infrastructure or a newfangled power structure?
You
can Bluetooth control it from your cell phone, so it's got to be better, right?
Yeah.
Also, you can tell us why the Beastie Boys are so bad.
Okay, first of all, I don't want to hear that from somebody who loves ABBA so much. So just calm down.
Wow.
That's ironic love.
Wow. Okay.
I just felt we were putting a lot on Joe's shoulders.
So, I mean,
trying to be the straw on the back.
I jumped into this podcast as a pinata from second one, so I'm going to roll with it. So aging infrastructure versus newer infrastructure is a really great question. And I think I am reluctantly on new, because at least with newer infrastructure, I might have something I can do about it if I find something that's bad. With older infrastructure, you're kind of stuck with what you got. And I'll give you a good example. I'll give you a couple of good examples. Many, many moons ago, when I was working in the electric utility industry, we were deploying something for high level, something called distribution automation inside of the state of Maryland. And we were doing it basically to optimize load values across the state. So like when I say load, I mean like residential, commercial, those kinds of like 7,500 kV or plus or minus a little bit in that area anyways. And we were using this system for, it's called CVR. And the problem with that system was we needed really accurate measurements. Like every 15 seconds, we had to know what the load value was, wherever the sensor was, wherever it was in the state. So real chatty. So we went and bought these radios to do that. And the company had already purchased the radios had deployed 5 out of 2,500 or 500 out of 2,500, and then came to me as a security architect going, hey, is there anything wrong with these radios we need to be aware of? And I was like, well, okay. So I found the money and got a pen test rolled out on these radios, and it was awful. It was the worst I'd ever seen. They had just, you know, Netcat available. You could remote into them. They had Telnet. They had, absolute
made by Baofeng.
Yeah. They had no security to speak of. They were running BusyBox Linux. They were, an absolute nightmare for a security guy. And when I got the pen test, actually, this is the only time this has ever happened in my career. When I brought the pen test guys in, I'm like, look, here's some radios. I'm going to mail them to you. It was a local Baltimore shop, which was really nice. And they actually stopped the pen test and came back to me and go, hey, look, we don't have a report yet, but y'all need to stop. We think you need to know about this right now. You'll get this all in the report, but since you've already deployed these, we have to tell you now. And they basically just put my jaw on the floor. I was like, wow, that is really, really awful. And to the vendor's credit,
this was a two-way radio control mechanism, or this was like just a, okay. This was just like a radio reporting thing.
Oh yeah. No, this was a commercial off the shelf. And I'll give them a shout out because they did a great job. And they have since, I think, done a really good job, a company called Calamp. We reached out to Calamp and we said, hey, look, we have a lot of these radios for you guys. And there's a lot, our security findings are super bad. They went above and beyond to issue new firmware, turning off and hardening up everything on those radios, which to this day I've never seen another company ever do in my life. And I think made us very happy in the end. Those radios were a lot more secure because of that. But if this conversation had happened 5 years prior, this would have never happened, because I don't even know if that company's still in business or who owns these radios, much less getting a firmware update, or unfortunately me rolling a truck to every single light pole or telemetry pole that has one of these radios stapled to it and saying, I need you to put this thumb drive in it and roll the software update. Would have been inordinately expensive. We did it all over the air, and it worked out super, super well. So, and this was 10 years ago, right? That I did that, or that we worked with this company to do that. When you talk about old infrastructure, I'm thinking like the late 1990s, early 2000s level of old, because there's plenty of that stuff in this country. It's working just fine. There's no need to make it any more fancy than what it is, but there's just enough leverage or visibility into it from an adversarial perspective that you might be able to do something. The real, I think, ledge, if you will, probably would have been back in 2013 to 2015 when advanced metering infrastructure came into play, which was the ability the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act that Obama pushed. He put a lot of money into that, billions and billions of dollars for smart grids. And that was something that a lot of utilities jumped on and put their own money into to basically wire up, no pun intended, all of the homes and businesses and stuff, and say in Maryland, to have smart meters on them. So they could track and fine tune, you know, load and consumption and billing and all the optimizations you get with that. And that, I think, probably was, in my mind, I think
that's literally what you meant, right? Like,
what's that?
I said that wasn't a pun at all. That's literally what you meant. You wanted to wire it in. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that was probably the moment where I was like, huh, if somebody got a hold of this, this would be bad. And to the industry's credit, I think later on they realized it as well.
Okay. Well, when you say like it could be bad, like what do you mean? Like obviously shutting off the power is not a good thing, right?
Right.
But, like what are some of the implications of that? Like, is there anything worse than that that can happen? Or, I mean, because everybody can imagine the worst case scenario of like a hospital losing power. Obviously a very bad thing.
Well, we in a first world country typically like this don't have to worry too much about it because we've got generators that can kick in, and it's theoretically tested very often to make sure. Because tornadoes happen, bad inclement weather happens, power lines go down all the time. So hospitals and clinics and stuff typically do have some endurance against that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think about the way it used to be when we were ancient and kids, right? We had to have a meter reader come up to our house and aim up, you know, with a clipboard and write down this electromagnetic thing circling on the outside of our homes, and the dogs would bark, and you're like, am I about to get robbed or whatever? And you're like, no, it's just a powered person. and they would just move on to the next house.
Guy cutting through everybody's backyard, like,
oh yeah, yeah, meters, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And that's how it used to be. And as we've said, you know what? It'd be really cool if we could just not send somebody to do this and save money. Like everything else, we invite convenience, but also risks. And yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a difficult question to answer, but that's kind of like where my thoughts go.
Why are those radios two ways? Is that for turning people on and off? Is that the only reason?
Yeah. So like it has to, so let's say you have a failure to pay situation. Like, you know, and for the most part, power companies are extremely mercenary about it. Like you can fall behind 1 or 2 months and they have payment plans because it's more of a hassle for them to turn off your power than I think they're letting on, but they do want you to get, you know, out of arrears and current on your bills. So that basically they can just issue a remote disconnect and go, all right, well, this unit has no longer has power. Or they have ways of, like say somebody lives there and you're selling the home, they can still have ways of keeping the power on, but like in a more supervised way because no one's actually living there. So someone still has to pay the power bill, right? It varies from place to place and from AMI system to AMI system. I know who we use here in Maryland, but gosh, the United States is a really big place with a lot of power places, and who knows what they're using. Honestly, it's more beneficial, I think, to the utility, in my opinion, because they're getting, I think for us, it's every 45 minutes, they're getting a data point collected from the 1.4 million customers that they have in the state of Maryland for our local utility. That lets them draw all kinds of efficiency conclusions and analytics out of that. You know, and a few years ago, you could probably figure out who was growing drugs in their house based on power consumption or a Bitcoin factory or something or whatever, or miner or whatever they were doing. They had all kinds of interesting things you could take with that data and do. Yeah.
I wonder how many times that guy that lived in the iron lung got raided for growing weed due to his energy consumption.
Do you think that thing took a lot of energy? Like,
yeah.
How much energy do you think that thing used?
I think that was a 1954 human-sized mechanical device that never got updated. It used like a refrigerator amount of energy from the 40s.
They couldn't like take him out of it to put him in another one. Like, that he couldn't update the machine, really. Like, damn, talk about your lack of patching situation. But yeah, I saw that when that guy finally passed away, I saw the machine. It does look like...
It was made when people used to get polio. The first time,
yeah.
When they get polio again for not getting vaccinated, it'll look different this time.
Fair enough. So smart meters, we're going to give the begrudging thumbs up. Joe, is that what I'm hearing on that one? Like that it's better than not to have two-way telemetry on the power distribution system and some of these other features that they're able to enable with that kind of technology.
Yeah, that ship's already sailed. It sailed 10 years ago.
Yeah, and that's where we are now.
But I'm also hearing that they could have one-way radios where they just had to show up to turn people on and off and actually just read
the telemetry
from the one-way radio.
That's a great idea.
Like, that would be a lot safer, right?
I love that idea. It would be safer. That also costs a lot more money, so no one's going to do that.
It's greater risk.
Yeah.
This is why we always lose.
So, true story, we had people in Maryland who thought smart meters were going to give them, I don't know, aliens were going to read their brains or brain cancer. I don't know.
I
don't have a position on that other than just that's just what they did not like smart meters being on their homes. And the state of Maryland, because every electric utility is a regulated entity inside of their respective service areas. It's an established monopoly, right? Because I don't buy power from a clone of BGE. So they're pretty heavily regulated. And they didn't like these smart meters, and they were putting things to ground out or like a little mini Faraday cage over their smart meters to block communications. And we're like, you can't do that, guys. But I tell you what, if it bothers you that much, we'll send meter readers to your homes and they will read your meters for you because you're going to our public service commission raising all kinds of hell. Downside is you got to pay for those meters, and suddenly their objections went away real fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well,
nope, we're cool with it.
They figured out how to not use the meters and do the alien brain scan through the 5G. So, Didn't really matter anyway.
And then the COVID microchips happened.
All that. So didn't really matter. Like that the smart meters didn't take off fast enough. So if that's where we're at right now, I mean, where are we going? What is like? How are we then to secure our grid against attack, against inside, outside, like whatever it is, attacks of opportunity, attacks from a foreign nation? How is a grid supposed to protect itself? If the two-way communication is there, is that where we start at the endpoint?
I'll focus on specific things that I've personally encountered technology-wise. I think there's a meta to be considered that the first person that screws with our power grid is going to get shot at in any meaningful, substantial way. I go, a town of 25,000 people versus Pittsburgh, right? Do we go to war if 25,000 people lose power for an hour because someone screwed with their AMI system? Or do we go to, Pittsburgh loses power for an hour and we're able to somehow roll attribution of a cyber incident to, some nation state adversary?
Obviously,
right?
Canada.
Those are two different questions with two different results and outcomes, right? Clearly Canada. They have long hated our superior hockey. And this is their way.
We call it the problem of the greater grid, right? I mean, they see that grid and they hate it and they want to take it down.
The shame of the Maple Leafs have finally reached down and they've decided to do something about it.
You okay with all that, Matt? Did you take all that in? You look very upset by what you just heard. I mean, we all know that Canada is coming after the grid. I mean, that's, a given, isn't it? I thought so.
Yeah. That all made sense. It's just when you play it all out in its plainness, it's alarming. That was the shocking part. It wasn't any of the who's or the details or that. It was just the baldness of it.
On its face?
Yeah, we'll say face.
So if so what does happen? We are looking at this, Pittsburgh goes down. It's whatever actor. What do we do from there, Joe?
I've actually asked this question to some dudes in the Pentagon. That must have been 5 years ago, just before COVID. And they were like, "Well, we have established, national security policy for authorizing actions of this or that." They were very vague when they said it. And obviously, the end result of that conversation was I don't think they really knew either, because
it's CNA, right? It's not CNE. So the official policy is that's an act of war.
Yeah, basically.
Like you can steal things, but you can't break things.
Yeah, basically. They were just talking about, I think, the policy established as written that basically authorizes them to do what they want to do, which I think is indirectly what you're talking about, right? So that was kind of it. And that is kind of where and Matt, I seem to have done nothing but giving you startling revelations this whole time. I would like to collect your hot take on that as well, because that's always been my vibe check, which is utilities, like your IOUs, your transmission entities inside the United States, have to invest mega dollars to stay secure, because those are the table stakes. They have to, they know they do. But the consequences of an adversary getting a little too punchy with either generation, transmission, or distribution, and causing something that resembles a significant event is, we have bombs and planes and tanks and aircraft carriers, and I don't know who wants to mess with the bull and catch those horns. Whereas, that's the small town Alabama where I grew up, population 5,000, I don't necessarily know we roll the Eisenhower out for Bayman at Alabama. I don't know.
Yeah, but the enemies aren't going to aim at Alabama if they want good effect on target.
You're not wrong.
So that's unlikely to happen. You would burn your shit on nothing. So
here's the kind of distinction the two of you have gotten to is you have to think about on the adversary side, what is my intent in turning this power off? All right. Am I sending a message? Or is my intent to cause damage? Right. And I think that's kind of the thing. If you're trying to send a message and you pick a kind of shitty way to send a message and power goes off for an hour, I don't think tanks are rolling on that. But like, if you break shit so that power, it comes back at some point as opposed to shortly, or if it appears that you're like putting together something where you are breaking multiple shits, then I think it's a different, if it's a different response.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a difference between, so you're saying there's a difference between turning the power out and blowing up the substation.
Yeah, I think I am. I think that's pretty much what I'm saying.
I would even say the range of it is important, right? Like, if you knock out Pittsburgh in the summer, how many old people have you killed, right? And how many body count do you need to get to before it's an act of war?
So there, it's way deeper than that. So like, let's say you knock the power out to a steel mill or something like that. They have furnaces in there that can never stop pouring, or they will crack and explode. They need ways to be able to monitor that, to understand what their safety systems are and stuff like that, or their SIS systems. You've got people on breathing apparatuses in their houses that may not have battery backups that can last an hour to 2 hours if they're on oxygen, right? You may have medical care being delayed for, for cardiac, you've got minutes. For neurological, you have an hour to hours. For pulmonary, you have days. For acute care, you need, if you come into the ER with chest pains, right? There's a line that is continually being pushed into the great unknown. And unfortunately, because of the data we have post-COVID and the examinations of it, we now know more a lot about it, unfortunately, because of the epidemic. But there's always going to be an untold cost to, until we do the post-mortem, and it's always higher than we think it's going to be. But quantifying what you know the damage is going to be into an immediate reciprocal action of, okay, launch the missiles, or we're going to sanction you, or whatever, that is calculus that I can't even begin to guess at.
Well, you kind of have to think that like those cascading, like downhill domino effect type cost type effect is going to probably lead more to, like, you know, increasing political, like you said, sanctions or some other, like, you know, political reprisal. To my mind, the immediate loss of life is like the immediate barometer of whether we're putting planes in the air or whether the Pacific Fleet is rolling out or not.
It's also emotional, right? It's not a purely numbers game. It is a perception on the part of the populace game, and how does the media handle it? And then how does that fire people up? And then what do politicians do from there? It's never just numbers. There's no spreadsheet for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Joe, I know we don't have a heck of a lot more time with you today. You have to go talk to a group of actually important people and decision makers about this kind of stuff. So, but you do talk to a lot of those people all the time, to power companies, to you know, other companies in the industry, in the utility, and in the critical infrastructure space. So from that experience, like, what can these groups do? Like, from your experience talking to them, knowing where they're at right now, what keeps them up at night, like, what can these groups do? And maybe even consumers, to some degree, do currently to get to a place of better security for everybody involved.
Yeah, everything is great and going well in your life until it gets taken away. So if you're a consumer, and Mitch, I know you live in Florida. If you live in the Midwest, you have inclement weather, storm shelters in your basements. Preparedness is the best way to go. So having generators, having food, potable water, things like that for either bad weather or whatever the hell happens is 100% always a good thing to have. So until it gets taken away from you, you'll realize how bad it can suck. So that's what I always advocate for any consumer. Now, I'm not saying run out and go buy, you know, a massive generator, bury it in your backyard, or go get a power wall or something like that. Hey, if you got the money, go for it. You do you. But just the reality of this is the way life is sometimes. Sometimes it do be like that. And that you just need to kind of have, you know, a little bit of investment in yourself to make sure that you're going to be able to ride out any blips, right? For the bigger players in this space, I talk to them quite often, and they are some of the smartest people I've ever met. And they care about it as much as I do, and they're always trying to think of ways to think like the adversary. So I've never felt, you know, I've always felt confident that they're doing what they can, either from a cybersecurity investment, from hiring great people and training them, you know, whether a utility or whether you're an RTO ISO or whether you're a generator. Like I was like, yeah, okay, you're asking good questions. What I always worry about are the ones who just don't have the money, who don't have the expertise, they don't have the vocabulary or the literacy to ask the right questions. And honestly, that's what I always look at it when I talk to folks. I'm not there to lecture them. I'm just there to help them ask better questions, or maybe answer some of those questions. And if at the end of the day, I can say, especially in cybersecurity as a profession, if you walk away with 1% more knowledge today than you had yesterday, then that's a win. And maybe we can give them that. And that's why I spend so much of my time talking and listening and trying to learn from them, to hopefully just make myself more well-rounded and a better cyber nerd, I guess. Especially on this crazy journey, you know, I started off as an operations IT and plain security guy. I never thought I'd end up in a world where I was doing industrial control system, power grid, SCADA security. Like it's just kind of weird how it all worked out for me, but it's been a heck of a ride, and we're going on a trip next week and we're going to learn so much more. So, I'm in it for the ride. This is good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for coming by today. Loreen, Matt, anything that you want to tack on to the end of that or final questions for Joe before we go back around the table?
Joe's really awesome. And that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Good enough. All right. Like I said,
Joe, my work here is done.
Yes. Well, Joe is always awesome. And I don't know. It's not that Joe is always awesome. So that pisses me off. Like Joe is always awesome and Joe pisses me off. Like those are two different thoughts, but I think equally applicable. But let's shut this one down the way we shut down every podcast here. Loreen, we started off with you, so let's start the wrap up with you. Any parting shots, closing thoughts you want to drop on us before we let Joe go and do his next talk?
Joe, you're going to bring up.
I don't really want to travel with a banjo.
Yeah.
I only travel with a ukulele. I never bring a guitar.
Yeah. Traveling, they make these things called tranjos, which are like these foldable transportation banjo-y thingies.
Like the neck folds?
Oh, it's weird. It's super. How fast can you get one? It does not look like a banjo. Not fast enough.
Can you return it?
Unless the banjo shop down the road from me, and there's one 5 minutes from my house, maybe they've got one. I'd go check.
Yeah, go check. Yeah. I'll bring the ukulele. Matt's going to bring his harmonica. We'll make Neil real happy in the car.
Dude, you guys are like halfway to doing your own cover of Wagon Wheel. Matt, parting shots, closing thought.
I'd just like to apologize to Steve Martin for the things that Joe Marshall said about him. It was unfortunate. Joe had obviously been having a good night. Really was feeling that his banjo playing was superior to Steve Martin's, and no amount of people telling him that wasn't the case would change his mind. So the video clip you saw of that man screaming about Steve Martin, that was Joe, but he didn't mean it. He loves you.
I may have been deep into my cups, but I'm sure I meant every word of it, whatever unhinged mental state I happened to be in. I don't know.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening and invite you to join us again in a couple weeks. I think I might be in Maryland the next time we record, Matt. It's either going to be the next time or the time after.
Yeah, I think it's maybe the next time.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. Because I am coming up there soon, so that'll be a lot of fun. But until then, thank you, Joe, for joining us once again. Go ahead and get out of here and get to your meeting. And to our listeners, thank you for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. In the meantime, stay safe, stay secure, and cheers.
Cheers.